welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Door of Life broadcast. We are so glad you've tuned in this morning, and we're trusting God is going to minister to you in a wonderful way. You know, the scripture says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're going to hear the word of God this morning, and I'm believing that faith is going to rise up in each one of us in a powerful way that is going to help us and strengthen us. You know, the scripture also says that where two or more are gathered in his name, he is there in our midst. You know, we are on purpose in this virtual way, gathering together in his name. And I know he honors our present circumstances, and there is a manifestation. There is a corporate sense of his presence. Even as we watch this together at the same time, that there is just the sense of community in this broadcast. And I'm just trusting that there will be that corporate sense of the Holy Spirit that ministers to you and connects you in a way that goes out beyond this quarantine and makes you feel supernaturally connected to the rest of the body, because you are. And we're just trusting, again, a special presence and special touch of his Spirit this morning as we gather together around the Word of God. We're going to go ahead and pray a blessing over this time as we just commit it to our Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We do thank you so much for this precious time. And we do commit it to you, Father. We just pray above all things that the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified, that his name is lifted high. We just pray, Father, for that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we can see things, that we can know things by the power of your Spirit, by the power of your word. We, with meekness, receive your precious word, which is able to restore our souls. Lord, we just pray, have your way. We lie down in your green pastures this morning. We look out across your still waters, and we look up to you, where our help comes from. And we just yield ourselves to the precious Holy Spirit to minister to each one, to strengthen us with might by your Spirit in the inner man, and just show us wonderful things from your word. We commit this time to you now, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're again excited to come to you this morning. We're believing God is going to minister a special word just for you. And as we do, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the word of God and see what the Lord Jesus tells us from the Gospel of John. So we're going to look at a passage here in John chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. And this is where we're going to see Jesus beautifully describe himself as our good shepherd and us as his sheep. And he says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This is a passage of scripture where Jesus wants us to know that he has, by design, created us so that we could know his voice, so that we could hear and perceive his voice. You know, in the old covenant, you had the prophet, the priest, and the king, and they would really speak to people on behalf of God. And even today in our new covenant, we have pastors and teachers and people who hear from God, get things much like this message this morning, and we still speak to people in that manner. So that paradigm still exists. We still do that. God still raises up ministry gifts who act as a channel for the things that he wants to speak to them. But in this new covenant, something different, something special has happened. And we looked at that last week when we talked about, you know, new creation living. You know, we find out that everybody who has received Jesus, they become a brand new person on the inside, that you've got the Holy Spirit inside you, that each one of us can hear from God for himself, for herself, because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And so it's important to understand in this new covenant that we're living in that we don't just have to look to the pastor, the teacher, to find out what God is saying. You know, we do that. God gives us those ministry gifts to teach us and help us and to build us up. But that's not all there is to hearing the voice of God. There is a very personal voice that you get to hear for yourself that you get to enjoy in the privacy of your own heart. God's going to speak to you. By design, God wants you to know his voice. Jesus wants you to know and understand his voice, because there's some things that God's going to speak to you that are just for you. And so this morning, we want to look at that and see what that means, for they know his voice. And how you can tell when you're hearing the voice of your good shepherd, because there's other voices out there. There are strangers out there who will mock the good shepherd, who will try to imitate the good shepherd. You know, we find out that's one characteristic of Satan back in Genesis 3, that he's subtle. He'll kind of subtly try to say things and do things in a way that will mock the authority of God's voice. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to take that voice of our good shepherd, and we're going to put it up to that voice of the stranger, and we're going to expose some things. We're going to say, this is what the shepherd sounds like. This is what the stranger sounds like. And this is what makes the good shepherd the good shepherd. To help you, as you're listening, it's God's design for you to know his voice, for a personal connection with the Lord. I love how it says it in verse 3, as far as the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. You know, if it's a billion sheep, you're not a number to him. He calls you by name. He sees your person. He sees the good workmanship that he created in you for his purpose. He sees and knows the design of your life. He unleashes his omnipresence as God and puts his presence inside you so he can talk to you and he can lead you. And you can hear his voice and get that sense and know, that's God. That's God. That's what we want to look at this morning. Your connection with your good shepherd. And how when you hear his voice, you know that's his voice. And when it's not quite him, you know it's not him. All right? So this morning, we're simply calling this message, the voice of the good shepherd. The voice of your good shepherd. Okay? And in this message, you are going to, again, begin to learn how to discern and know and sense the voice of Jesus in your heart, okay? You know, sometimes you think, well, can I hear from God? Can I get things from God? Yeah. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian for any amount of time, I can already tell you, you've heard from God. You've gotten some things from God. I mean, a lot of times you'll get a cool thought, you'll get an idea sometimes, and you'll think, man, that's amazing. I'll never forget that. You know, and about, you know, a couple hours later, you think, now, what was that that God said in my heart? Yeah, you know, and we do. We get that. There's times that we'll just get in the spirit. We'll just pick things up in our spirit. Just thoughts, you know, that you know, I didn't think that up. That was a thought that just, it was revelation. It was inspiration. It was illumination. You know, it came up from the inside, just an insight. That's the Spirit of God to speak into your heart. So that's what we're going to look at today as we go forward in our message, the voice of the Good Shepherd. So the first aspect of the voice of the Good Shepherd we want to look at this morning is what we're calling his instructional voice, or the Word of God. And we can see the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy here, all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so here we see that Scripture, even though it is something that is written down by men, it was given by the inspiration of God. In other words, God spoke by his Spirit and men wrote it down. Our Bible is not a bunch of things that men made up and wrote down. It's a bunch of words that God inspired by His Spirit. They listened to what He said and they wrote it. The Bible says, holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened. So the Bible represents God speaking. I've heard a lot of people put it this way too. Say, you know, the Bible is God speaking to me. That's a good way to approach the scriptures, you know, before you read your Bible, to say that. The Bible is God speaking to me, because that's exactly what it is. That scripture was given by inspiration of God. It was not a brainstorm of man. And so we realize that one of the ways our good shepherd speaks to us is through the written word of God. In fact, that word had such authority as the spoken word of God that Jesus himself, when he was here on the earth, you know, he was in the desert, and we remember he was tempted of the devil, and Satan said, hey, go ahead, and you're hungry. You know, he'd been fasting for 40 days. He said, go ahead and turn those stones into bread. And Jesus said, no, it is written. He didn't say, hey, I'm Jesus. No, he said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, Jesus kind of proved the whole concept right there, that perfect God could inspire and speak to imperfect man, that he could write it down and then preserve it for hundreds of years. And then when Jesus comes along as God in the flesh, could take those very words and resist spiritual forces of darkness by what was written. It showed that man was capable, through the sovereign preserving of God's spirit and power through the process, to get it right and to get his words right. So right that God himself in the person of Jesus could take those words that were written by men and declare them as the word of God. Kind of a proof of concept, if you will, of the authority of our Bible. The Bible is God speaking to you. There is power in that word of God. And, you know, so much so the Apostle Paul told Timothy when he was preaching, he said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So here we can see the Apostle Paul telling Pastor Timothy, hey, preach the word of God. Preach the word. You know, there's coming a time when, you know, that doctrine, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they have desires that are contrary to sound doctrine. So they're going to be looking for teachers who are going to go in and try to make a way to legitimize in a scriptural way their desires. And what are we talking about? The voice of the good shepherd. You know, just because somebody uses scripture doesn't always mean that it's going to be God. We know that the scripture is of God, inspired by God, but it also has to be rightly divided. Okay? You can take certain scriptures, you know, and take them out of context to try to make a case, and, you know, so people can do scriptural gymnastics with the Bible to try to prove that their desire is really okay. All right? They don't want to endure sound doctrine or rightly divided truth. So as you're listening, again, we said, the enemy is subtle, there's a stranger. You might hear strange doctrines that you think, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't seem right. You know, if there's doctrine, scriptures, and things you're hearing, don't feel like you gotta swallow it, okay? If there's something that isn't checking out right, you know, I've kind of heard somebody say this, put it on the back burner, all right? You know, just say, Lord, I'm not sure about this. You know, you said in all my ways to acknowledge you and that you'll direct my path. So, yeah, I'm seeing some doctrine here. I'm seeing some scriptures and things, but it just doesn't seem right. You know, I want to acknowledge you with that. You just show me what I need to know out of that, okay? Other times you're going to hear the truth and it's going to be put together and it's rightly divided and the Holy Spirit says, yes, that makes sense. And not only is that true, but the Holy Spirit shows you more stuff, all right? So we're talking about the voice of the shepherd, that you know that voice, and the voice of a stranger. So people are going to use scriptures, but it's not always going to necessarily be God. People can use scripture in a way to try to justify their desires, but it's not really scripture that's sound doctrine. So something to just be aware of. And when we're talking about, you know, the instructional voice, it's important to not put a bunch of inspirational pressure on yourself when you're listening for the instructional voice of the Lord. I love this proverb. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." You know, he's just saying, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes, okay? This is mechanical in nature. I'm just doing it. I'm putting those words in front of me. I am not letting them depart from my eyes. I'm keeping them in front of me, okay? What am I doing? I'm listening to the instructional word of God. There is power in doing this, okay? Because a lot of times we think of hearing the voice of God, it's got to be something that drops in my head. It's got to be something inspirational for it to be the voice of God. No, the scripture is the voice of God. It's an instructional voice of God. If you're reading the scripture, that's God speaking to you, okay? And a lot of times, you know, when it comes to getting the inspirational voice of God, it will start with the instructional voice of God. You'll start just reading what he said, and in the reading of what he said, the Holy Spirit will get stirred up in you and will begin to show you more and give you more clarity and give you some examples, and it'll stir up the Holy Spirit in you. It'll stir up that inspiration. But when it comes to hearing the voice of God, again, be open and willing to just look at the scripture for what it says. You know, when I was deer hunting many years ago, I had gotten lost in the woods, and my dad put this little compass on my jacket, and he said, "Ed, if you ever get lost," and I can't remember the exact, I think he said was west. I think he said, "Go west, just follow west," because the road was one of those directions, and it was many years ago, but I believe it was west. And he just said, "If you'll go west, it'll take you out to highway whatever, road whatever." And sure enough, I did end up getting lost in the woods. And I remember my dad's words. And of course, I didn't think, yeah, I thought I can figure my way out. You know, I can figure my way out of this first. So I kind of tried my own, you know, looking around at trees and stumps and things like that, trying to remember where I came from. And pretty soon they began to repeat. And, you know, I knew I was lost. So I said, okay, all I got to do is, you know, go west on this compass and I'll go out to that road. And, but when I was doing that compass, you know, was my guide, you know, and it was just saying, you know, wherever west was, that's where I'm going. And I would go and I'd be crossing places that I'd been before. And I think, oh, this isn't right. But, it says west. All right. I'm going to keep going west, go west. And so I kept going west and saw where I'd been, but just kept forging on, and some new places that looked a little spooky because I hadn't been there before. And, you know, as I was going on, pretty soon I was going and going, and I could hear cars. It's like, oh, yes. And I kept going, and sure enough, I got out to the road. And, you know, a few minutes later, my dad came by with the car and picked me up, and I was good. But there was a time when I had to trust that compass, you know, in just a very mechanical way, and just believe the authority of that compass, that west was west. It wasn't based on my inspired thought or orientation. I had to just look at what that compass said. I had to trust the authority of that compass in a mechanical way. And it got me to where I needed to go, okay? There is that trust. There is that looking to the word of God, and you're just trusting and you're looking that compass is going to get you to where you need to go. And this Bible is a compass for us. You know, I like to also kind of liken this, you know, just going to the word of God in a very uninspired mechanical way by faith, knowing that inspiration's coming. All right. I almost kind of liken this to almost a fire drill. You know, when that fire drill, a lot of times in schools, we'll have tornado drills, we'll have fire drills, and before the event happens, you're practicing all this stuff. Okay, if you're in this classroom, you're going to go down this hall, you can take a left, go right, then you go at that exit, and you're going to end in the parking lot, and you're going to stand over there in the parking lot, Okay. And so throughout the whole school year, they'll have these drills to do that. Well, why do they keep doing these drills? The idea is that when something real happens, there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of excitement. You're not thinking straight, and you want to have already practiced what you're going to do so that when the pressure's on, you'll have already have a sense of what you need to do next. Finally, I want to take a look at a passage of scripture where Jesus in John chapter 8 says, to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You know, like we said, the written word of God is the voice of God. And what Jesus says here, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There is a continuing in that word that causes you to know the truth and for the truth to make you free. You know, if I would have just started looking at my compass and had given up, maybe I came across that spooky area that I'd never been to before and it didn't look familiar and this is really west. If I would have decided to stop looking at the compass and, I got to figure this out on my own, you know, if I wouldn't have continued with the compass, I wouldn't have come to that road. And as you're listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd and you got his written word, there's a continuing in his word. Continue in that word. If you continue in that word, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. There can be a temptation sometimes to want to let go, of that word. You know, from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, Satan comes in to Eve and says, "Has God said?" You know, he has a way subtly of making us doubt that word. And that's kind of what the voice of the stranger will do. He'll come in and he'll try to undermine or question, "Has God really said?" You know, to try to make you let go of that word, to make you look up from your compass and try to figure it out yourself. But there's a trust when it comes to the instructional voice. There's a trust when it comes to that word of God. And that's, you know, you don't get that overnight, but over time, you begin to trust that word. You know, that it really is the word of God, and you're learning to trust him and trust that, yes, this is the word of God. You know, when you think of, I think of an example, maybe as you're dealing with, you know, some of the scriptures that could be some of your main scriptures. You know, you think of, you know, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, you think, wow, can I really do that? I mean, does forgiveness and, you know, I mean, how can I do that? Is that going to make me vulnerable? Does God really understand? It just seems kind of, you know, like I'm going to be a doormat. And, how can I trust God's word to really continue in that and to hold on to it and to do what his word says to do? Because it's so different than the way we think. And so it's one thing to know that the Bible is the word of God. It's instructional, his voice. But to hold on to it, continue in that word, you'll know the truth, and that truth will make you free. I love this little story. It's by Corrie Ten Boom, just as she was kind of struggling with her own holding on to the word of God. Corrie Ten Boom, who, those of you who don't know, went through the Nazi concentration camp and just, you know, endured tremendous suffering, but was really, you know, came through the other side and just a powerful, strong witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Corrie Ten Boom told of not being able to forget a wrong that had been done to her. She had forgiven the person, but she kept rehashing the incident so she couldn't sleep. Finally, Corrie cried out to God for help in putting the problem to rest. His help came in the form of a kindly Lutheran pastor. Corrie wrote, "To whom I confessed my failure after 2 sleepless weeks. Up in the church tower," he said, nodding out the window, "is a bell which is rung by pulling on a rope. But you know what? After the ringer lets go of the rope, the bell keeps on swinging. First ding, then dong, slower and slower until there's a final dong and stops. I believe the same thing is true of forgiveness. When we forgive, we take our hand off the rope. But if we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming for a while. There's just ding-dongs of the old bell slowing down." And so it proved to be. There were a few more midnight reverberations, a couple of dings when the subject came up in conversations, but the force, which was my willingness in the matter, had gone out of them. They came less and less often, and at last stopped altogether. We can trust God not only above our emotions, but also above our thoughts. There's a trust that we have in His Word. There's a trust that we have that, oh, this is walking on water. This is faith stuff. But if I'll continue in that Word, I'll know the truth, and the truth will make me free. You know, I love how Corey cried out, you know, I'm technically forgiving, but I'm still having these issues. But to really believe that, okay, it's kind of like me looking at the compass. I could have looked at the compass, went away, and then, okay, decided to take it on my own again. You know, she realized that forgiveness was taking her hand off that rope. Yes, I'm going to have some things that are contrary, but I'm not going back to the rope just because I hear a few more ding-dongs and things that didn't work. And I'm going to let that thing settle down, keep my hand off the rope, let things heal up, trust God's word, you know, as I'm standing in His power to do that. There's a trusting in His word that we have as we hear His voice. You know, I had a car, actually it was my previous car, that had a security system on it. And it was, sometimes that security system was a little flaky. And I would go in my car, and as I was going to turn the car on, I could tell already that security light would come on. And I'd go, oh no, because the car thought I was trying to steal it. Of course, I'm the car's owner. All right. But it thought for some reason it had a glitch that I was trying to steal it. And when that would happen, the car would literally shut down for, you know, 20 minutes. I could try to turn it. It would turn over, but it would never start. It would never start because of that security thing that was in place. But if I would just leave it alone for about 20 minutes, that security glitch would turn off, and then I could turn it on and I could go. Well, that's not a convenient thing, you know, when you're going off to an appointment and the security light goes on and now you got to sit 20 minutes. Or you're in a gas station and it thinks you're trying to steal it. Now you got to sit 20 minutes. And so very frustrating. In fact, I found that when you have a broken security system, it's actually an insecurity system. Because the car thought that I was trying to steal it. When the fact of the matter is there's no one on the planet more concerned about the well-being of that car than me, its owner, all right? But that car had to, you know, just didn't believe, didn't buy it. And sometimes I've thought of that as it relates to, you know, the Word of God. There's nobody more concerned with our well-being than our Lord, than our Savior, than our Creator. And He's given us that Word. And that Word is there for us to protect us, to correct us, to instruct us, that we can trust that Word, you know, that we don't have to worry about it. And, you know, like what, you know, the story said, she said, we can trust God not only above our emotions, but also above our thoughts. You know, God's Word says it. I'm going to stand on it. God's Word is true. That's His voice. And as I'll continue in that Word, I'll know the truth, and the truth will make me free. Even though I may be in the woods right now as I'm looking at the compass, even though I still may be in the woods emotionally or mentally, even though there may still be some ding-dongs and reverberations going on, as Corey Ten Boom's story goes, if I'll hold on to that Word is going to take me through to the other side. Praise God. And I'm going to be free. So that's one aspect of knowing the voice of the Good Shepherd, His instructional voice, which is the Word of God. So the other aspect of knowing the Good Shepherd's voice is His inspirational voice, which is the Spirit of God. You know, we did just get done looking at the instructional voice, of course, is the Word, but He's also got an inspirational voice that comes through the Spirit of God. Now, of course, the Word of God is inspirational. As we read it, and the Holy Spirit gives us inspiration on the written Word of God. And that's all true, and that's part of the written Word. But there's what we're calling the inspirational voice is where you realize the Spirit of God is just directly speaking to you. Spirit to spirit, He's showing you stuff, as Jesus said He would. In fact, before Jesus left, He gave us some parting words. He said in John chapter 16, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. Now, this is exciting. There's just nothing quite like, you know, getting that sense of the word of the Spirit of God to your heart. When he shows you things, he reveals different things to you. And that's what we're going to look at again today and take a little closer at what that looks like and what that doesn't look like. Now, I'll just say as a, you know, young, zealous believer, Christian, wanting to just tear it up for the kingdom of God, I sometimes I feel like, you know, the Apostle Peter. You know, Peter, the thing about Peter is it seems like he either got it really right or he got it really wrong. You know, good heart, wanting to do the right thing all the time, but just, you know, sometimes his, you know, his humanity got in the way, all right? And we're a lot like that too, you know? We'll get things and it's right and it's God and it's good, but there's going to be times you're going to miss it, you know? And that's just kind of part of learning how to walk with God, is learning how to discern that voice of the Spirit of God in us. But Jesus clearly says, hey, when the Spirit of truth has come, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to, you know, he'll give you direction. He'll give you illumination on the scriptures. He'll, you know, he's going to glorify Jesus in everything that he does too. Everything that he does is a means to an end of bringing glory to God. It's going to cause your heart to go, wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you. But now I want to show you something too, as we're hearing things, as we're picking up things in our spirit from God, that can be a little bit subtle, and how that voice of the stranger can get in and try to interrupt those good things that our good shepherd is wanting to show us. And I'm just going to, again, kind of tell off on myself a little bit. I love, you know, hearing things and, you know, even prophetic things and different things like that. There's a lot of good stuff out there. But sometimes the enemy will take the scriptures and, you know, we talked about this before, and he'll kind of wrongly divide them and can get you off. Well, here's one way he can do it. I remember hearing the story, and it's the story of King Joash and Elisha. And as we'll just kind of pick it up here in 2 Kings, and he said, and this is Elisha, open the east window, and he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria. You must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Okay, so Elisha's prophesying to King Joash what he's got to do, and when he shot that arrow. And then he said, take the arrows. So he took them. Again, this is King Joash, took those arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God, Elisha, was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. So what King Joash did was allegorical for what he would be doing in terms of striking Syria. And of course the prophet is showing him, look, if you would have just kept striking it, you know, more times, you would have, you know, ultimately destroyed your enemies. Okay. Interesting story. Amazing. A lot of those stories in Kings with Elijah and Elisha are phenomenal and great examples that were written for us to learn about faith and different things like that. But I'm going to tell you something that the enemy can do, and he can be very subtle. In the same way that God can take bad things and work them for good, Satan has a way of taking good things and trying to turn them around for something that can work in a negative way. And I just remember hearing this story kind of early on as a believer. And, you know, when I would do something, you know, I would kind of hear this story, you know, and it would always be kind of the enemy would kind of come around with this story and kind of try to condemn me that I'm not quite doing enough. You know, oh, you're reading three chapters of scripture? Well, you should probably be reading five or six chapters of scripture, you know. I mean, if you were really serious about me, if you really wanted to do my will, my perfect will, you know, that's fine that you're reading those three chapters. Oh, you're fasting, you know, 3 days? Well, if you really loved God, if you were really consecrated, you'd be fasting 5 or 6 days. You know, of course, I would remember, you know, Joash should have struck the ground five or six times. He only struck it three times. And what am I saying here? I'm just kind of telling off on myself. It's easy sometimes, especially when you have a heart for God and you love God and you want to do his will. It's easy sometimes to be tripped up by a religious spirit. You know, it's really a spirit of false prophecy. It's a spirit that Satan uses to try to mock and imitate the authority of God's word. That was a powerful prophetic account, this exchange between, you know, King Joash and the prophet Elisha. But when Satan comes along and then takes that and then tries to beat you up, that you're not quite doing enough, only three times, only reading three chapters. And if you're not careful, that, you know, there can be a just kind of a religious spirit that kind of trips you up. And you can always feel like, you're just not quite cutting the grade. I can't tell you how many of my own personal revivals I have undermined by just listening to that, you know. And it's just not true. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you can never read the Bible enough, you know, and that sounds really spiritual, but it's just not true. You can read the Bible enough, okay? Reading the Bible is feeding your spirit. It's feeding on the Word of God. And at some point when you're fed, you're satisfied, and that's good. And you can go from that devotion time and go into your day. You know, that phrase, you can never read the Bible enough. You'll notice there's this kind of underlying condemning tone that no matter how much I've read, it was never quite enough. You're just not quite enough. Sounds religious, sounds spiritual, but it really has an undertone of condemnation. That's not true. God isn't saying that. And you'll notice that that's just the way it is with Satan. That's the way it is with his voice. You know, that's the way it is with the flesh. It's kind of gives, you know, one of the ways that you can distinguish the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of the stranger. The voice of the good shepherd is going to be peace. There's going to be joy. There's going to be a witness of his spirit that is loving and kind. The voice of the stranger is never quite enough, all right? Whether you're talking about works of the flesh, if it's addictive stuff, you know, trying to break addictions, you know, it's like, okay, all right, one more and I'm off the stuff for good. You know, I just got to do one more, but it's just, I'm not never quite satisfied. The flesh is just never quite satisfied in that sense of trying, when you think of natural addiction stuff. And it's the same thing with spiritual things too. You just didn't quite read enough. You just didn't quite fast enough. You didn't just quite do enough. It's never enough, all right? That never enough issue with the flesh comes through with this religious voice too. You're never quite doing enough. It's important to bring this out, especially as you're trying to live for God, because the enemy will get in there and try to counterfeit that voice of the Lord with some authoritative, you know, that authoritative sound. You know, I remember once I was actually running on the treadmill, okay, and I was just kind of finishing up my workout, and I just, just had this sense in my mind as I was running and just finishing up my workout of voicing, go the extra mile, go the extra mile. You know, it's just kind of this authoritative sounding, go the extra mile. You know, and I was thinking, oh, really? You know, if you go the extra mile, then you're really going to see what I have for you, my full plan for your life. If you'll go the extra mile, you know, if you'll do that, then there's this kind of threat. There's this ultimatum with that authoritative voice. And if you don't go the extra mile, then you won't have my plan for your life. And da, 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 da. It's the spiritual sounding, you know, wow, it's false prophecy. It's not his voice. That's not the voice of your Jesus talking to you like that. He doesn't. He doesn't talk to you with, you know, never enough and condemnation and ultimatums and, oh, that's the enemy that tries to deceive. That's the enemy that tries to get us off. It's not him. It's not the Lord. He talks in a way, you know, here's the Apostle Paul as he's exhorting the Colossians, because the Colossians were kind of getting off too. They wanted to be all spiritual, but they were kind of getting off by people that were trying to be super spiritual. And he said to them this, he says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why is the living in the world do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but they are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. In other words, you know, you're getting trapped with a bunch of do's and don'ts and things that look really spiritual, but they have no real spiritual power in your life. They have no value against the indulgence of your flesh. They really can't provide a true restraint, you know, in your being. They have an appearance of it, but there's things that can't provide value against the indulgence of the flesh, and there's things that can provide value against the indulgence of the flesh. Jesus said, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not trying to hit these commandments and doctrines of men, and that spirit of false prophecy, that religious spirit tries to come, do this, and do this, and do this, and do this, and then you'll get that. And it sounds really spiritual, and it's going to cost me something to do that, but then I will attain. Be very careful of that. You know, it's it tends to trip us up who really want to follow after God. We can kind of get, you know, seduced by that because it sounds so spiritual, but it's not. It's not God. God doesn't talk like that's not the voice of your good shepherd. He's not playing these spooky spiritual games that you just got to hit all the right hoops and then you got it. And no, he doesn't. That's not his voice. He doesn't talk like that. In fact, James is very clear. He says, the wisdom that is from above, it's pure, and then it's peaceable, and it's gentle. It's willing to yield. It is full of mercy and good fruits. There's no partiality. There's no hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Come boldly before the throne of grace. The persona of the good shepherd is kind and gentle. He said, I'm meek and lowly of heart. Learn of me. He doesn't have big shot, spiritual pride, condescending hoops for you to have to hit or else. That's not his voice. That's not the way he is. It's spiritual ego. We're human. We can get it really right. We can get it really wrong. I mean, there was one point Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, yes. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You got that from the Father in heaven. You dialed in. Yeah. And then moments later, Peter is trying to stop Jesus from going to Jerusalem so he won't be crucified. And Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. Same guy. You can get it really right, you can get it really wrong. We can do it too. We can get it really right, and sometimes we can get it really wrong. We got to back up and say, is that his voice? Is that what he sounds like? No, it isn't. You know, I remember a story too. Kenneth Hagin related. He was raised up off a deathbed. And a lot of times this will happen, you know, when you get a real victory, like you see in Peter, he had a real victory. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right then, Satan will come in and try to trip you up and try to undermine the victory you just had. You know, when he got done, you know, Jesus said, say, get behind me, Satan. You know, it's Satan tends to come in after the victory and try to undermine that victory. And that's what happened with Kenneth Hagin. He had been raised up off a deathbed. It was amazing. You know, and everybody saw him in his family. You know, it was his grandpa said, wow, is Lazarus raised from the dead? And, you know, Kenneth Hagin said, yeah, Lazarus has been raised, you know, and it was just an amazing miracle and everybody saw it. And he was actually on his bed the next morning, said around 8 o'clock. And all of a sudden he just kind of woke up, you know, from a little nap he'd had at 8 in the morning on his bed. And he heard a voice which seemed audible to him, supernatural. And I'm going to get this right. But the voice basically said to him, and it was in this kind of authoritative, you know, voice, you know, in the kind of that Elizabethan English, And it said to him, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And today thou shalt surely die." And, you know, for him, it was like an audible voice. It was so clear. He had heard it so loud, and it was so clear. And, you know, that deep sounding authoritative, you know, quoting some scripture references, you know, he thought, "Oh, wow." It was just so real. He said he got up off his bed and he went over to a chair in the corner of his room, and he literally sat down there and just waited to die. You know, that God had just spoken to me, and, you know, today's my day, you know. And he said, so he sat there in that chair from a little after 8 to about 2:30 in the afternoon, and he hadn't died. And all of a sudden, he said, at about 2:30, the scripture just kind of rose up in his spirit a little bit. "With long life, he'll satisfy you, show you his salvation." It's kind of a faint little scripture. He said, but as soon as that scripture rose up, he said, there was just another strong thought. He said, "Nope, God has appeared to you in the supernatural way to let you know that today is your appointed day." So God has revealed himself in the supernatural way. And so he just kind of sat back down and said, all of a sudden that scripture kind of floated back up. "With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his..." And then that voice, nope, God has appeared to you and has spoken to you in the supernatural way to let you know that today is your appointed day. And then his faith would just kind of fall. Said, "Yeah, you know, today thou shalt surely die." You know that. And he's sitting there, and then the third time, I thought, "Yeah, but that scripture kept rolling up in his spirit. With long life, he'll satisfy me." And then that voice said, no. "He has appeared to you to let you know that you are going to die." And he said the fourth time when that scripture came up, it was equally clear in his mind. "With long life, he's going to satisfy you and show you his salvation." And he said, "Oh, where is that? Where is that scripture?" And the Spirit of God just prompted him, the 91st Psalm. He went back there and read that. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." And he's like, yeah, that's right. And he went over to the New Testament and he got a few scriptures, you know, in the New Testament, you know, that corroborated that as well. And, you know, as he said, you know, as he likes to say it, when he got that and he realized that, he, you know, he doubled his fist and he kicked and he said, "Devil, that was you talking to me. That was you telling me that I was going to die." And he rebuked him and he said, "I want you to know something, Mr. Devil. I'm not going to die today, and I'm not going to die tomorrow. And I'm not going to die next week. And I'm not going to die next year. And I'm not going to die 5 years from now. And I'm not going to die 10 years from now." And he kept going in increments of 5 years all the way up to 55 years. "I am not going to die 55 years from now. With long life, he is going to satisfy me and show me his salvation." And sure enough, it wasn't, I guess, 69 years from that day until Brother Hagin did actually pass away and into the presence and the joy of the Lord. But what happened? He realized that authoritative sounding voice, that was not God. That's the enemy. A lot of times trying to come in behind a victory, trying to come in behind something that's good and cast doubt on it and mock that spiritual voice and try to get your ear. And if he can, you know, he's going to get you down that path of never enough and never, you know, just never measuring up. You know, that's what that religious spirit does. It continues and it drives and it drives and drives. But God's voice isn't like that. He says, "Hey, come unto me, all you who labor. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm not going to heap condemnation on you. I'm going to tell you, you're complete in me. You're not complete because you hit that hoop and that hoop and that hoop. You're complete in me. While you were a sinner, I loved you. There's nothing that can separate you from my love for you. My wisdom is going to be full of mercy and good fruits. It's going to be sown in peace. You're going to find rest for your soul. My yoke really is easy. My burden really is light. It's not a never enough yoke or a never enough burden or the appointed time and da 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 that plays on spiritual ego. No. I love you. I'm your Lord. I died for you. I put my spirit in you to show you things, to show you things to come. And my voice is not a driving voice. You didn't receive a taskmaster. You received a Lord who loved you and gave himself for you. And that's my heart for you. I'm a sympathetic, merciful high priest, not a condemning taskmaster. So important to keep that perspective on our Jesus. And finally, the last scripture I want to take a look at this morning is found in Romans chapter 8. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God." We have the Holy Spirit for inspiration. We have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. And when you get that revelation, when you get that inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of Abba, Father. There's a spirit of Daddy, Daddy. You're my God. You're my Lord. We know in verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. That witness that you have on the inside of that you're a child of God, it's that same kind and quality of witness that's going to bear witness to everything. It's the Spirit bearing witness to truth. There will be a peace about it. Again, you know, that scripture in James 3:17, pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. These are the qualities of that wisdom. This is the quality of the voice of the Good Shepherd. Kind, gentle. Jesus said, "Come unto me," again, meek, lowly in heart. We're listening for the voice of that Good Shepherd. He has an instructional voice. It's the Word of God. It's a word that we're seeing, you know, from the outside with our eyes, and we're letting those words come in us. And as we keep those words before our eyes and keep them in the midst of our heart, faith comes. And as we continue in that word, we know the truth, and that truth makes us free. And we may have to hold on to that word as we're navigating some forests to find our way to the road, because this is unfamiliar territory, and all I've got is the compass of his word that shows me what to do. But his voice is in his word. His voice is in his word. I don't have to get a rev from God before I can just go to his word and begin to look at those scriptures and let those words, let those scriptures guide me. All right? And that scripture, rightly divided truth, it's going to bear witness with your heart. There's the inspirational voice of God too, the Spirit of God. It's not going to be a weird religious taskmaster type thing that, you know, is never quite enough. Not at all. It's a place of green pastures and still waters. It's a place of restoration for your soul. It's a place where he can restore your soul. It's a place of no condemnation. It's a place of restoration. The inspirational voice of God. To know the voice of the Good Shepherd. And when you hear that voice of that stranger, that strange voice that just doesn't seem quite right, you can tell it when the word isn't quite rightly divided. It's like, oh, there's just something not right about that. Pray about that. Acknowledge the Lord with the word of God as it's divided, and let him direct your path and show you. You know, if there's something not right about it, you will not feel any moral obligation to have to go back to that doctrine or that word. If there's something good and right there that you need, the Lord will show you. He'll keep bringing it back to you in a good way. All right, the Spirit of God, same thing. You know, if there's something not right, you know, it'll just like, it's just like I'm not, I'm missing a satisfaction of spirit that I'm used to having when I'm hearing from God. There's just something that's grinding, that's never quite right, never quite good enough there. That's not God, all right? His Spirit's going to be pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, good fruits. He's going to talk to you in a way that you have ears to hear. He knows what you have ears to hear, and he's going to speak to you right there because he loves you and he's a good shepherd. Well, Heavenly Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that this word, this truth, Lord, would just penetrate our hearts, that we would get, know, and understand the fact that you love us, that you are for us. If you are for us, who can be against us? And I just pray, Father God, as we're listening to your voice, that we listen to that voice knowing you're for us, knowing you're a good shepherd, knowing you're meek and lowly in heart, knowing your wisdom is pure and peaceable and gentle. Father God, I just thank you for your precious voice and how you speak to us. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that each one here will be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, will sense the leading of the Holy Spirit, and know your amazing love for them, that you call them by name, and you go before them, and that there is a witness of the Spirit that is completely in line with your loving heart toward each one of them. We thank you for it, Father God, and I pray your blessing on them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for being part of the message today. It's just so good to get around the Word of God. Well, again, thanks so much for tuning in this morning. So good to be with you in this way, and you know that we love you guys, and just longing for the day to be able to really be with you and to touch you and hug you and really have a gathering time again in community. And we just thank you again for your all your support, your prayers and giving and different things like that, and just your fellowship. We're just so thankful. We've been blessed with the sweetest spiritual family, you know, on the earth. You know, that's the way you are when you're walking out God's plan for your life. God's given us the very best. And you guys, thank you so much. Have a wonderful, blessed week, and we'll see you next week.